Good morning, everyone. Would you please be seated? Wonderful, wonderful to see you here. It was sunnier earlier on, but you still have brought some sunshine to this service at 10:30. Just to give you an update on what's happening in terms of the ministry at the parish, it all hasn't been confirmed, but I know that I'm going to be ably assisted for the next number of weeks till towards the end of June, when I've committed myself to being here, by the Reverend Jerry Adam, who is a deacon in the parish, and most of you know her very, very well. She's got some extraordinary pastoral skills, and we are going to do, I hope, I trust, a very good job at pastoring in the church. I am especially glad to, I guess, I don't know, formally welcome Adele. You've been a member of the parish for some time, and your husband, John. The Reverend Adele Miles has been a colleague of mine in the Deanery of Wellington, a fellow Anglican priest, and is helping today and will help a number of other services, and maybe even in the summertime. Who knows? Breaking news is yet to come on all that front. I hope you come next Sunday. Just as a teaser, Mary Lou and I had a visit with two of our parishioners this past week, and I've had, I guess, probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of parish visits over my 50-plus year career. This was probably one of the very best. They're parishioners. There are two of them. They're actually here today. They have a profession that you might not guess in the first 50 guesses. And I'm going to be talking about that next Sunday. It relates to the gospel. So see you then. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, your Son made himself known to the disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the book of 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
If you want to know the story behind this window, listen carefully to this gospel. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now on that same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these few days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Won't you please be seated? Of all the stunning stained glass windows here at St. James Westminster, the Road to Emmaus window to my right is the crowning jewel. I invite you to imagine the Bible story, which you've just heard. The story behind the stained glass. Here's some of the special features in its design, and reflect perhaps on how the story might touch your life. The admirers of Jesus by this time are very confused, even angry, for he is now dead. Few have seen him after his death, but the details are slim, scanty, unproven. Two of the followers are now heading west, into the setting sun, to their small, sleepy village. 11 kilometers, about a 3-hour journey if they're to step on it. Same distance from London to Delaware, heading west. But in this case, they're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were a courteous pair, so when a stranger came up behind them, walking in the same direction, they thought about chit-chatting. But not now, not this weekend. Everyone had been talking about the headlines of the day. 2 or 3 women actually claimed to have seen Jesus in his resurrected form. It just seemed unbelievable. Unbelievable, too, that the stranger didn't really seem to have known what had happened from the previous Friday until this day. How could anyone be so out of touch? But my goodness, did he know his scriptures? At last, they arrived home, dog-weary. It had been a stressful week and a tiring journey, but again, courtesy must rule. So there's no question but that with dust setting in, the stranger be invited for supper and to spend the night. There wasn't much food, bread, fruit maybe, a vegetable or two, but it seemed enough for the weary travelers. But what on earth just happened? When the stranger brought out a loaf and blessed it and broke it and distributed, well, all of a sudden, they recognized the Lord himself in that breaking of the bread. He did it in such a special way with such a voice, and the light finally dawned. And Jesus just disappeared from their presence. The two followers were so overjoyed at identifying him, they raced back to Jerusalem to tell everyone the good news. Well, my friends, that's the story behind this gorgeous window. Many, many people are listening to this service online, so I'd like to tell you, as I've been telling the story in the church here, that this story has been painted by the great masters many times. We've just seen in our screen paintings by Lund, Caravaggio, Rembrandt, depicting the supper and the village. And we'll provide a link to all of those slides next week. Before I get to the significance of that story for us, let me indulge in some maybe quite small trivial points that you might never consider. Not important that you remember most of these either. If you look carefully now that the sensory old grime was cleared away from this window, the newer, clearer glass that was put in the outside allows for a better view. We can see the outstretched hand of the disciple dressed in blue. There's some of the buildings just below that hand. You can barely see them even up close. Flat roofs, one domed roof, slits for windows, covered by grime for close to a century. And now is your chance to peek. And in this masterpiece, we see a mistake in the original design. Remember that Emmaus is west of Jerusalem. So the three travelers are walking into the sun as it sets in the west. Why then are the shadows going in the wrong direction? The artist must have been directionally challenged. Something quirky and fun to notice. And we can ask ourselves a very theological question. Was this supper at Emmaus a Eucharistic meal, a form of Holy Communion, Well, most theologians bring their bias. Protestant theologians would say, they believe that's an ordinary meal in an ordinary home with ordinary owners and an extraordinary guest. Those from the more Catholic perspective in Christendom see in this story, the breaking the bread, the shape of a memorial meal that should continue to be reenacted, a Eucharist, Jesus as the host, even though no wine has been mentioned. Let your imagination and your biases take hold. Look, I realize that those particular observations are not life-changing. But there is something about this window, this story, that might be. The Reverend Bill Lord is a retired United Church pastor who had a very powerful ministry. I heard him speak about the imaginative retirement gift that he was given. He was a very prominent artist in the congregation, and the congregation commissioned the artist to paint a painting of Bill Lord's choosing. "What's your favorite Bible story?" asked the painter. "Well, it's the walk to Emmaus and the supper that followed," said Bill. "Well, I will paint that picture on one condition, that your face be one of the two faces in the painting." A humble follower is transplanted into a work of art. Can you imagine if something like that happened to you or your picture? Would you love it and be delighted and excited, or would you be thinking rather unworthily that you're just not up to that task? Maybe you'd feel ashamed that you didn't even recognize the Lord when he so often walked beside you. Maybe all of that. But wouldn't it be wonderful if you were so overjoyed that you had welcomed Jesus into your home and had even recognized him, spoken to him on the street corner, not knowing at the time that he was so extraordinary, that you had listened to his stories in a rapt way, that you were so excited about everything that he said, you felt it an honor to be called one of his followers. So much so that you recommitted yourself to a life of faith, goodness, and kindness, because there was no other in the history of humankind who has brought so much hope into a despairing world. You and I have our discouragements and our inadequacies, and if we let that take root in us, it will cause a deep cynicism and polarization that is so much endemic in all of the world today. But Jesus has brought amazing hope, the polar opposite of all that cynicism. I think I've led a fairly privileged life, blessed almost at every turn. When I think back, there were just two or three or four times when I thought my life was coming apart at the seams. But I'd grown up in a strong, devout family, so perhaps it was easier for me to turn further towards my faith than in those bleak moments to turn away from it. And I found that at every step along the way, Jesus continued to be present and blessing me. Walking with Jesus, Jesus walking with me. I grew up with that, so perhaps I had it easier than a lot of people. Let me tell you one story of someone who didn't have it so easy, even though he grew up in a rectory. There was a time some years ago when her son was walking east, and he should have been walking west, going the wrong direction, lonely and lost, suffering mightily. He's very bright. 3 university degrees, a dentist with some specialties. And one day when he was working in Thompson, Manitoba, in the far north of Canada, he found himself wandering in the fishing aisles of a Canadian tire store in Thompson, Manitoba, looking at the rods and reels. A stranger walked 20-something meters down the aisle, came up behind Richard, and tapped him on the shoulder. "Greg, This man with no teeth at all, what a coincidence for a dentist, right? Started a conversation about the outdoors, fishing, canoeing, lures, and they hit it off. And Greg invited our son to church with him the next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Miracle Sunday. And there was Richard sitting there being surrounded by so many people who were beginning to care for him. He became leader of the men's group at the Salvation Army. He did lots of pro bono work for needy people in the community and turned his life around, and it still has been turned around, glory be. Going west on the Sunset Road. Months later, I asked Richard what helped him so profoundly. My son said it was so difficult to change direction. But Greg told me that every single day he prayed for me. And I found that I couldn't let down my only friend in the whole wide world. Jesus doesn't usually come crashing in on us. We're more often likely to find him as a nurse leaning over us in a hospital ward, or a chorister singing joyfully in a service of worship, or a teacher responding to the needs of a student in distress. Once, I am told on good authority, Jesus even appeared as a toothless man in the aisle of a Canadian Tire store in the far north of Canada. I invite you to stand. Let us proudly confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a prayer position of your choice.
As we gather to hear the word of God and to break bread in the presence of Jesus, let us pray. Walk with us, Lord, on our journey of faith, both as individuals and as the Church of God. Open up to us the truths you long for us to understand, and inspire all who teach and encourage. Equip us all to pass on the good news of Easter. Lord God,
abide with us.
Walk with us, Lord, down the streets of our cities, towns, and villages. Drive with us down the motorways and fly with us down the air corridors. Meet all who are curious, searching, or moving in the wrong direction. Let your presence be sought and recognized in all the world. Lord God,
abide with us.
Walk with us, Lord, in our life journeys, guiding, teaching, and correcting us as we learn the lessons of loving in our homes, our schools, our work, and our communities. Lord God,
abide with us.
Walk with us, Lord, through the times of suffering and pain, alerting us to one another's needs and providing for us in whatever ways are best for us. Today, we pray especially for those from our parish. Beth Brown, Patrick Conboy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckeridge, John Fryer, Al McMillan. Lord God,
abide with us.
Lord, we thank you for walking with us wherever we travel. We thank you that you are indeed real and alive every step of the way. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Special welcome to you boys and girls. Wonderful. I want you to look where I'm pointing. You see that window up there? You've been learning all about that. And if your parents forget about the story this afternoon, you can tell them to. Okay? You can remind them. And here we have your wonderful pictures and shepherd's crooks and buckets. How did you enjoy your meal? Good. What all did you have? Grapes. Oranges, bread, figs. How did you like the figs? Good, right? Good. Dates. You had some dates. Yummy, yummy dates. And the apricot. Oh, okay. Did you eat them all? God bless you. It's a wonderful story today, and I hope you remember it, and I hope Jesus will always walk with you. You can go be with your family now.
Creator of all, you wash away our sins in water. You give us new birth by the Spirit and redeem us in the blood of Christ. As we celebrate the resurrection, renew your gift of life within us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being.
Glory to you forever and ever.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turn against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord God of hope and heaven. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Glory to you forever and ever.
Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Amen. As our Savior taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Oh.
Let us pray. Author of life divine, in the breaking of bread we know the risen Lord. Feed us always in these mysteries, that we may show your glory to all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. God the Creator grant you the grace to see yourselves as God made you. God of love grant you the grace to value yourselves as God values you. God of life grant you the grace to dream God's purpose for you and the courage to live that purpose from the depths of your being. And the blessing of God, Creator, lover, and giver of life, be with you and those whom you love and care for this day and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Just a reminder before the dismissal, there is coffee in the hall. You're welcome to come and greet one another in a less formal setting. Alleluia. Go forth rejoicing in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve your God.
Thanks be to God. This is a treat to see you.